Georgie is bad, and I mean, he's been bad. That's, you can't deny that. You can't argue against the fact that he's been bad.
Just the team just hasn't played good the last few games, but still, I mean, like I told you in the locker room, I just a negative. You're creating, you're putting negative juju on the guy.
I was just saying, stating the fact.
Bringing it into existence. We got to be pumping the boys.
Team has a chance, right? I mean, everybody that made the playoffs has a chance. They're still one of the best teams in the league, obviously.
It's a new season.
They're in the race, baby.
It's a new season.
When they won the cup, it's not like they finished on the fucking hell of a strong note either.
No, but they had also clinched everything and were sitting players and shit.
I do remember.
Who's negative now?
I do remember.
That's not being negative. That's just what it was that last part of the season in 2022. We won. We were well ahead, clinched home playoffs, so we sat guys and didn't play them. Don't tell me I'm being negative.
I do vividly remember everybody having massive, massive, massive uncertainty of Darcy Kuemper going into the year that we won the cup.
Yeah, always. Yeah. There's always people that are like that. Like, go to the Reddit board for the Avs, and it's the most cesspool of negative shit there is.
Well, I think you find that a lot with people who, I don't know, I don't want to call them fair-weather fans, but maybe people haven't been around the game a lot. Well, who haven't maybe watched the Avs a lot. People that don't watch
till the fucking playoffs. Oh, they turn it on the last 2 weeks, they start watching hockey, and then they're the fucking know everything about it.
Right. Because if you did.
I heard the Avs are good this year.
Right. Oh, the Avs are going to the playoffs? Okay, we should probably watch, because I remember that parade they had a few years ago. We should see if that's the same team. Yeah. It's just one of those things for me where I'm just like, it depends on when you started watching, because if you watched them through the whole month of March, you were like, this team's going to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
We weren't losing. And the games that we played playoff teams, we were coming back from down from like sometimes four goals. Coming back, what was that, against Vancouver? We were down 4-0, came back and beat them.
We've done that twice now.
Yeah, against
Pittsburgh,
good teams.
Pittsburgh and Vancouver, I think, both.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, everyone blew off because I was like, oh, that's an AHL team. It's like they just missed the playoffs by one game, so...
As long as did the kids on the ice, I don't. They have a. Right. They're a good fucking
squad. Malkin, just those two alone.
Yeah.
To call them an AHL team as well, but when you see people say that, it's almost like if you were like really into politics, and you were going to sit down and have a really good conversation with somebody who might disagree with you, and then they start doing the name calling, and you're like, all right, I'm starting to realize here I can't have a conversation with you because you're just married to an idea. It's the same thing in sports too. It's like you start talking to someone, and then they just say something absolutely ridiculous, like the Penguins are an AHL team. And then you're like, all right, okay, I already know who I'm talking to here.
Right.
All right, let's just agree to disagree because I can see there's going to be no reasoning with you here. I think it's a Homer mentality. I think there's just a lot of people who, you know, I have nothing against people who are homers, but if you can't ever step away and just give credit where credit's due to another team, even if you don't like them. I always use the example of being a Broncos fan with Brady and with the Patriots. It's like, yeah, I hated the Patriots. I hate playing them, but I'm not going to say that Brady's not the greatest quarterback ever to play the game.
I know. You know, as hard as it is to,
as hard as it is to say it, yeah. You know, Grant over there, look at him. He doesn't want to agree.
Oh, Grant hates it.
It's what I know, it is. I mean, you can't. It's like arguing. You know, Tiger's not the best, even though you could throw Jack in there pretty easy. But you know what Tiger did was pretty crazy. But now look at him today. The guy can't even. He took last after the cut.
I know, but that guy, you could just see his back and his joints, and it's a good segue because I do want to talk about Scottie Scheffler, the man, the myth. Guy's all about his faith. I loved every answer he had in all of his press conferences of him just saying, listen, golf's not what defines me. The guy who died on his cross, my Lord and Savior, is what defines me. As a Christian man myself, I absolutely love him saying that. But Scottie Scheffler takes home his second green jacket. Is that something that any of you guys saw happening?
He was Scottie, right? I mean, he was the fave. So,
how often does the favorite win? Do you know?
And they're always most of the time they're in the mix, right? But they might not win it all the time.
I don't know the numbers on it, but I mean, it's been almost 3 calendar years now. Scheffler, like every tournament, every weekend, I'm like, yeah, the guy has a chance to win it. And the Masters is no different for me.
I think he finished dash two today at Heritage.
Yeah. Well, that's what's I wonder, this is where we need Diesel, because he could look this up, but like, it's so hard to win the Masters and then come out the next weekend at Heritage and do well. It seems like everybody is just like, all that build up and stress and pressure, they go out next week just to get the reps in. They're not out right. there competing like they did. I mean, I'm not saying you can't win it, but
did his wife have the baby? Do we know?
I don't know. Obviously not, because he's playing golf right now. I think if she had the baby, he wouldn't be playing golf this weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know she was ready to pop there last weekend.
Well, good on Scotty. I'll fully admit, you boys are the ones that got me into golf. So this is only the third year that I've watched the Masters in a row. And I will say, just from my experience of those 3 years, that looked like the most insane weather conditions I've ever seen anyone playing golf. Just the wind.
The fucking wind, man. Yeah. I was blown away. I know two or three years ago they had the cold and the rain and the fog, but just like the wind I hadn't seen. I mean, I guess last year
it was just all weekend, man.
A couple trees blew down.
But I mean, that's the cool thing about the Masters, is they've been doing it for 100 years. So we've not seen those conditions, but they've happened.
Yeah.
They've been there. Guys have played through it back in the day. No doubt.
Will they play in fog?
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be a weird one.
Your caddy better be fucking good. They've got little tricks, like your caddy. Like, I've played in the fog with a caddy, and he would just walk to the end of Whistling Straits. He'd walk to the end of the tee box, he'd put his towel down, and he would tell you just to aim that direction, and then he'd walk up and find your fucking ball like that.
Ah, okay.
And it was like dense fog, like dense shit. Couldn't see.
Okay, so good question off that. I have a question off of that. I've been meaning to ask any of you golf guys this. Do the caddies, like, do you have range finders when you're playing?
They have, well, in the
caddies will use them too, but
PGA, they have those yardage books that are so accurate.
So they know like where their ball's at
this year.
Oh,
like,
really?
They'll get exact measurements.
You'll see, and maybe it's not during tournament day. They're not like during like actual tournament play, but I know during like practice rounds and stuff. But I know it was a rule change recently. But those guys are so good with those books; it's wild. They know everything, and they're just doing the math the whole time, because it's all based off of certain. You know, the yardages will be based off the front of the green, and then it's this and that. And then they just will calculate all of it, and that's why they go do practice rounds and stuff. And obviously a lot of these caddies have been there, done that, and gone through that course.
I did not know that
course a lot. Caddies are pretty wild, dude. Caddies do some crazy stuff.
Well, I've never had a caddy, but I've had you, and you alone have changed a lot of things, especially when we're playing Patty. I just look, I'm like, Grant, what club should I use? He goes, use your 56. And I'll usually, and I'm not making it sound like I'm a pro golfer here, but then I'll usually have a decent shot if I make a good shot on my end. But if I make good contact, it's usually almost spot on.
Yeah, if Grant tells you where to hit the ball, he's usually right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as you don't want to give Grant all the credit, but he's definitely changed my golf game. Yeah, now that we just have to have
I want to be a caddy.
You'd be a good caddy, man.
Quit my job, get the white suit, and just go somewhere.
Be a traveling caddy,
rip up Florida, Arizona. Carolinas,
I just think
Wisconsin.
I just think that would be the coolest job in the world.
Oh, dude.
Literally just walk around a golf course telling guys how much are they held responsible for the golf shot?
It depends on, I mean, a lot of it's gratuity based, right? So like, but the caddy can only put you in the situation. But like the couple caddies I've played with, like one, the guy at Erin Hills he nailed every putt. I just couldn't putt. And then towards the end of the round, I drained like three or four birdies because I finally started hitting the putts that he told me to hit. But I knew it.
So he was giving you the exact reads.
And
then it's just up to you to hit them. But you knew exactly he was telling you was accurate.
Oh, 100%. Because as soon as I started hitting the spot, I started dunking the putts. Mm. Same thing at Whistling Straits. Guy caddied there since the day it opened. And he knew all kinds of shit. He'd be like, hey, you're standing on a sprinkler head. And you'd look down and it would be a sprinkler head underneath your feet. He'd be like, hey, what's that yardage? I think it's 176. And it's like, oh, well, you're right. And then because he just carried two bags every day, at least once or twice a day, and would just caddy the course, tell people how to play.
And they just knew those courses like the back of their hand.
Back of their hand. The greens, the courses. And like those nice courses, they'll do like, they do the caddy tournament, right? So one time a year, they bring all the caddies out and let them play in this big tournament. But then, yeah, it wouldn't be a bad gig. It'd be a cool way to go see a lot of nice courses.
Yeah, especially if they, like, you were allowed to play on like the practice days. Like, you just play with your boys
there. Oh, yeah. You can, yeah. You know, a lot of places.
Last question I had in the Masters, because this is another one that I got a kick out of. Did you guys see that Bryson DeChambeau? Did you see, like, he just got his 3D printed clubs approved PGA right before that tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple guys using 3D printed clubs out there.
That is wild to me.
Yeah, his clubs are weird though, too, man. I think all the shafts are the same distance or the same length.
I don't understand how all that shit works.
The 3D, I don't either.
Like, how the fuck? I don't get it.
I don't either. The only thing I saw is when we were at the Children's Hospital, and they have like this teen room for all the teenagers there, and they have all these cool activities. Like, it almost looked like a school. Like, they had like the pool there, and then they had like this electronics room where like kids were like coding. And then they had a couple of these 3D printers, and it literally looks like just vinyl that's coming down and it's just printing out. Now, this wasn't like an advanced 3D printer or anything by any means. This would be like one that I think you could have at your, like in your garage. Yeah. But it was cool. Like, it was building like a whole like 3D, like salamander or something, I think it was. And then I'm starting to see these massive 3D printers like building houses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the shit I don't get. I've seen the little small ones at work. Like, a guy on our hockey team made us, like, a little hat clip for, like, our tees. I have a 3D printer. This dude made, like, a model airplane at work out of a 3D printer. But it's all that, like, that vinyl stripping. But how you make a club, and they showed it, like, a close-up. There's a little segment on one of the
yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of weird.
It looked perfect. It looked like a normal golf club. So
I'm sure it does, because it's just, you're just inputting a blueprint that's to absolute spec into the machine. It's just, what material are they using?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Think you can put any material in there. I just don't
is
know
it just like a super plastic or what?
It probably depends on, I bet, yeah, just like Shanman saying there, I bet it just depends. I bet you can put multiple different types of materials, how much you want to spend.
Yeah, but even you can't 3D print metal per se.
Well,
I think like that's like
laser cut metal, maybe, but
well, I think it's like the mold. Like when they do welding, you know, it's like a little, very thin strip of metal. I think it's like that.
Mm.
That would be weird.
Interesting. That'd be interesting to figure out, because there were a lot of people on. I refuse to call it X just because I don't think it sounds good. No, I mean, I'm totally fine with abandoning Twitter just because of what Twitter used to be, but it's easier to say on Twitter. But there was a lot of people accusing him of like the types of club he had with like the specs on it, the way it flexed, all these things were saying that it's not possible, essentially. And again, these are people on Twitter. I can't validate who these people are as far as their expertise. But some of the things I read were the material that his clubs are made out of give him an unfair advantage, the way that it flexes, the speed, all these things, because it is a completely different material. But I can't imagine the PGA or anyone would approve these things if they didn't test them all first to make sure that he wasn't having a massively unfair advantage.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would stand out if he did, right? I mean, that's like with their changing of the golf balls, right?
And that's probably why, because he did lead after day one. So that's probably why he was under the microscope after it, because everyone's like, oh, this guy's only number one because he's cheating. Then you have Wyndham Clark shooting himself in the foot by chirping Liv, and then he goes out and gets himself cut the next day.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. The shit, you know, the Liv's the Liv. It is what it is. But the problem is that, like, they're misranking players now and stuff like that, and the little sputes going on. But it's all down to it. You got to play 36 holes of golf, make the cut, and then play another 36 more. And if you ain't playing good, you're going to get eaten alive on those courses. Don't care where you come from.
Right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, none of us did very good on our predictions last week.
Because you can't really predict it other than picking.
No.
You picked
Bryson. I had Wyndham Clark.
Or not Bryson.
I had Wyndham Clark. Didn't win.
Scotty. No.
I had John Rahm. Both of them. One of them didn't even make the cut. The other finished pretty damn close to last of the cut. And then who did you have, Shar? You had...
I can't even. I think we might have said. I would have to go back and look. I think I said.
No,
said
you had
Scotty. In a blind pool. I had Egberg, Ludwig Egberg.
Yeah.
He won me like $200 something.
I can't remember who he had now.
Did I say Cam Smith? Which that wouldn't have been. I mean, what did he do? No. Top 20, maybe?
I think you said Ricky. You said Ricky at one point.
It wasn't Ricky. You threw out like all. Every
golfer that is.
I was just saying they're just sleepers. I don't know if I
think you
them.
Had DJ. I think you had DJ for Liv.
Could have said DJ for Liv.
And then PGA, I cannot remember for the life of me who you said.
Don't remember.
We'll have to go back. We'll have to go back to the tapes. Anyway, Scottie Scheffler wins it. The guy and his FedEx rankings, he's like 3,000 points ahead of the next guy below, who I think is Wyndham Clark. That guy's having, I think his like total earnings already is just outrageous. And the season's kind of just kicking off. So that guy's doing insane things. I almost called the entire NCAA hockey tournament to a T.
I know.
Yeah.
I missed two. I missed Minnesota not advancing, and then I missed the overall champion. So BCDU. And BC did deserve that win that game, but that goalie that they have there at DU, my God, as much as I don't want to give Ryan Massa credit, he is
the goalie.
That's
what I was going to say. Shout out to our boy, fucking.
Shout out to our boy.
Teaching good goalie. Teaching good goalie things, I guess. Rubbing off on
him. I tell you what. Yeah. I tell you what, man. Who was that guy? That was it Jack Caruso? Hey. Is that who it was?
The goalie?
Yeah. Was that who played? Matt Davis. That's who it was. It was Matt Davis. It wasn't Caruso. It was Davis. That Matt Davis, dude, he made some incredible saves in that game. Because BC,
all that
man,
one he made was wild.
Oh, BC. They were – when I watched them play – the times throughout the year, I was like, there's no team that can beat these guys. But that's what happens. It's a one game. Anyone can beat anybody.
Yeah.
So shout out to DU. I think, does DU now lead all D1 teams for the most national championships?
Ten.
Unbelievable. Well, that's
first
awesome.
First team to double digits.
It's good for Colorado. Yeah, I think things like that reflect over to youth, to where I think a lot more kids in the youth will get involved.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yep, Colorado hockey's coming. Well, DU's been a powerhouse, and obviously so. It's nice to see kind of CC coming up too, giving them a little bit more of a run. But DU shit on them all the time.
Well, at least you can say it was the best team in the country that shit on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The winners.
Yeah, I just think that it's –
what is that, two in the
I think
last
it's a testament.
Years?
Yeah, I mean, if you even take it back
they
further
just
than
win.
That, even the ones
they
that
just
they lost
–
I think they lost a couple too to Minnesota Duluth. So they're almost guaranteed every year to be in the Frozen Four.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Almost every year. I just think I think it's gonna be massive for the NCHC, just because it's like when it comes to recruiting, even if you're not DU, if you're in the conference, like you're known right now, I would imagine, as the best conference. Like, I don't think you can argue.
They have to be. I mean,
can argue that's the best conference.
Since they were created, they've won 6 of 8 titles.
Yeah, who do you put number two? You put Big Ten?
Number two?
Or do you put
Hockey East? I mean, I think most people would argue that Hockey East is better than the NCHC. I wouldn't, but I think a lot of people would.
We'll have to bring in Bubbles Henderson for that one. He'd have a good discussion with you on that.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, we discussed this the other day, actually.
Very cordially.
I know. The hell,
very
man.
Cordially.
He started a separate chat without me in it. I mean, I understand why he did it. I understand why. I'm going to have to text him and be like, hey, get it going again where I'm back in. I need to start getting back to some normalcy here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to DU. Good job. Congratulations on your natty.
Great job.
Sox college hockey's over now, but it'll be back before we know it. And then last topic I want to talk about before we jump into NHL playoffs. Arizona Coyotes are out, it sounds like. Sounds like it's been confirmed that the NHL will buy out the team and then it will be sold. I don't know if it'll go back to the same owner or not. I don't know the exact details of how that's working, but it sounds like the Arizona Coyotes will be going to Utah in the Salt Lake area next year. If that is the case, I think we talked about this not too long ago on this podcast of all the destinations that we'd like to see have a team. I think Salt Lake is hands down the best pick.
Well, they'll fill a bigger stadium than than a college stadium.
I mean, it's a new excitement, man. They're going to share. So they're going to share, I think, for the first part, they're going to share the same stadium where the Jazz play right now. I think it can hold up to, what did I read? I think it was like 12,000, maybe.
I was going to say, it's got to be over 10, probably.
It's got to be more than where they're playing now. They're playing in the ASU barn. So it can't be worse than that.
It's nice, right? But it's not huge.
And so, I think it's like, it's a new pro team in Utah. Why not?
So 2 hours ago, officially, Arizona Coyotes Twitter put out, said that the Board of Governors unanimously approved establishment of a franchise beginning in the 2024-25 season in Utah that will be owned and controlled by the Smith Entertainment Group, which owns Coyotes, blah, blah, blah. That effective at the closing, it's approved the transaction will result in the Coyotes franchise transferring the totality of its existing hockey assets, including all of its players and draft picks, to the Utah franchise.
So there you go.
Same ownership, but it's official.
Sounds like it's official. So they're going to Utah. What is the team name going to be? So Spit and Chicklets put this out. They said, what with the team name? There are some hilarious people online. Like, there's just some hilarious people online. Some guy said, there's no other option. It has to be the Storm and Mormons.
Yes,
the Storm and Mormons.
The and I'm just like, how do you argue that? Okay. The Soakers, as I said, the Salt Lake Soakers.
Yeah.
I think I saw a couple from the NHL of.
It's like the Yetis.
I forget the. I think like it was that. The Yetis and the Venom, and there was another one. Oh, the Utah Hockey. Like, they want to go soccer. It'll be something. They said the Utah HC, the hockey club.
Oh, the hockey club. Oh, great.
That'd be terrible.
Brutal. No, they'll do something. They'll do something like the Yetis or something, I bet.
Do they get anything special in the draft or anything? Like, any special stuff? Or are they just moving cities,
baby? Just like what Shaman said. So, every single thing that's just Coyote affiliated just moves to Salt Lake. So, those same draft picks, same team, same contracts, everything.
Arizona's just not a big hockey place, I guess.
I know. It's so funny because last night you see all these fans chanting, Salt Lake sucks.
Yeah.
Well, you're just like, you guys never. Now, I'm sure there's some loyal people that were at all the games, even when they couldn't even fill.
You know it.
Right. But it's like, don't blame Salt Lake or these other people. Like, blame the people of Arizona, because it's just like the WNBA. It's like, listen, you can play about all you want, but if you don't show up and support the team, like, it's just a revenue. It's a business. It's right. All it is. It's an entertainment business.
Well, the WNBA operates at a loss and then just gets bailed out by the NBA.
Right. You know what I think is going to suck the worst about it, though, is not being able to see the Kachina. I think their jerseys are fucking sick.
Yeah, I agree.
They could take the same, like, color scheme, like that teal and maroon. But
yeah. They won't. They'll come out with something.
What if they just do the Salt Lake Coyotes, Utah Coyotes, and just keep the same thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it kind of works. I guess it would kind of work.
Let's do the Salt Lake Nordiques. Let's bring back that Nordiques jersey.
Those are sick.
If we're doing that, do it in the halves.
Yeah. Colorado Nordiques. I just think, in my opinion, of course, I'm very biased, but I think those were hands down the best jerseys ever.
Oh, yeah.
The Nordiques.
They still rock? Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Well, when they did that stadium series, like reverse retro, actually it was the reverse retro Nordiques jersey where it was maroon instead of that blue.
Yeah.
God, that was fucking – that looked so clean. But, yeah, I don't know why they only wore them for that 1 year, and that was it.
Yeah. It is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so it sounds like they're going to be going there. I don't know when they're going to announce any sort of team name. I'm sure it'll happen sometime this summer. Hopefully it won't be as bad as that team that Tebow took under, that, what was it, that ECHL team in South Lake Tahoe.
Like the
Golden River Monsters,
the
or whatever.
River Monsters, the Trouser Snakes.
That's right. But the only, like, what, like, I assume they're gonna stay same conference and everything, right?
Should.
Nothing's gonna change there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's all good there. I don't think that'll change again until there's an expansion. But people are talking about expansion teams going back. Someone said Quebec. I think that would be sweet.
Yeah.
Someone also, remember they were talking about possibly Atlanta? I'm like, that's failed like three times down there. Like, can we stay out of Atlanta?
If it doesn't work in Phoenix, it's not going to work in Atlanta.
It's not going to work anywhere in the South. Like football, especially college football, is a damn religion down there. That's why there's no NFL teams down there other than the Saints.
Right.
Like there's no NFL team in Alabama. Like you're just like stay out of there because even some NFL teams won't even go down there. There's not a chance the NHL is going to survive somewhere in the South.
I just don't know where do you put it.
I think you got to go more into Canada. The fact that we only have a handful of teams in Canada is kind of wild to me.
I was there at KC.
Kansas City could do a team, I think.
Yeah, actually wouldn't be a bad idea. How far is that? How would that be too close to the Blues?
It's a whole state away.
Yeah, it's half state. I mean, that's they're on the opposite sides of the states. So I think they'd be okay.
Would you be on the Kansas City side or the Missouri side?
All the shit in Kansas City, like all their teams are in on the Missouri side.
So I don't know.
It's the same city, really. I mean,
it is.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You have the Ducks and the Kings right down the road from each other. So, granted, it's not the same population, but I'm sure you could fill a nice little barn in there.
Oh, yeah.
Alaska would be way too far. Although Anchorage, I think, would be a pretty nasty place to play.
Yeah, up there would be cool. But then, the travel just gets crazy.
So, yeah, imagine those road trips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the playoffs. Where
else would work? There really isn't anywhere else.
I mean, maybe like
somewhere.
Wisconsin.
Wisco.
I mean, I would be, do you think junior hockey is just too big out there, though? Because like you look like Nebraska, Iowa, those places, like you would never think if you were a non-hockey person, you wouldn't think that places there would survive. But because of fighting, and we talked about this when the PWHL came out, and we said if you were to implement the same rules on the women's level as you would on the men's level, that would it enhance the game or would you fall into another WNBA trap? You know, where Shaquille O'Neal, he said, if you want to increase people watching the WNBA, it's like lower the nets, like let girls and women dunk.
Right.
I don't know enough about basketball to comment on it, but I can tell you from a hockey point of view, I'd be much more inclined to watch the women's hockey if I knew that it was the exact same rules as men. Full body checks, you know, fighting, whatever, say what you will about it. I love it, but, you know, some people hate it. Some people love it. But, you know, you talk to guys who played for like Lincoln Stars, that's Henderson, Omaha, any of those places in the Nebraska, Iowa area, Des Moines, all those places, they said half the people went when they knew you were playing rivals because there was going to be line brawls.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like an NHL team would do well, but maybe the population is just not too big enough for a fan base.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might be tough to get guys to want to sign contracts to go live in Sioux City, though.
Yeah.
I could live in Green Bay.
Green Bay would be sweet.
Yeah. I mean, if they can put the Packers there, but well, let's get into the fun stuff. Let's get into some playoffs. So the East is set. Matchups are set. The East is set. Everyone's eliminated. Everyone's locked in. Nothing can shift. The West, there are some things that can shift. I think if the Knights win at all, they secure third spot. Predators will be first wild card. Kings will be second wild card, which means the Kings would play the Canucks. The Predators are going to play... No, sorry. Kings would play the Stars.
Yep.
Predators play the Canucks. See. I think the Predators, Canucks, and the Avs and Jets are the only ones locked, correct?
Can't verify that. I think it is. In the West, yes. The 1 and 2 seeds are still open.
Right. So if the Knights win, the Knights will get that third spot, and they will play the Oilers. If they lose, they fall into that second wild card, and they'll play the Stars. I hope the Knights lose because I hope they play the Stars because I think the Stars will dust them.
Yeah.
I think the Oilers might lose to the Knights.
Could.
Yeah. Oh,
especially with Mark Stone coming back, just like everyone predicted would happen. So Vegas, I think, already put themselves with the biggest bullseye as the most hated team in the NHL.
Oh, yeah.
Rightfully so, because they're definitely exploiting that rule. I do foresee some sort of rule change happening in the future for that. Just because I don't know what you do, because I don't know how you can like prove some guys faking an injury.
Right.
But all their guys where they're going to be like $55 million over cap, if they all end up coming back throughout the playoffs, that's like the Dodgers versus Rockies right there when it comes to just discrepancies in the salary cap. But let's talk East. So right now, I will tell you the matchups. I will tell you the odds, and then we'll go through each one, and you guys just tell me first series who you got. We won't do – we can do like a mock Stanley Cup winner of who you think, but we won't we'll just move series by series for now. So the East is set like this. We got Battle of Florida. We got the Panthers versus the Bolts. We have the Bruins versus the Leafs. We have the Rangers versus the Capitals, and we have the Canes versus the Isles. Right now in the Battle of Florida, Panthers are at minus 190 to win that series. Bruins at minus 130 to win their series. Rangers dash 240 for theirs. And then Canes dash 220. So let's start with Battle of Florida. Panthers Lightning. I will tell you right now, I think that's going to be a hell of a battle. Panthers, obviously, much better hockey team. But like you said in the beginning of the episode, it's a whole new season, playoffs. Everyone shows up different. And the Lightning, with that entire staff, from head coach to most of the people playing, everything, they have so much experience in the playoffs. Like, you can't just say it's going to be a sweep. But I do think Panthers take in seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, who's winning the President's Cup?
Rangers won.
Rangers won the President's Cup. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
Yep.
That, you know. Oh, yeah, I think Panthers will take that. Well, you know,
I mean, you nailed everything I was going to say. I mean, Tampa just – they know how to win. They know how to dig deep. But, yeah, I just think this is the year. The depth for the Panthers is just too much to overcome.
All right. And let's not write off – Panthers haven't won it, but they've been to the finals now. They were there last year. They've been in the playoffs now for the past few years, so it's not like they're new to this either.
Didn't they go out first round last year, though?
No, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. They beat the Bruins first round.
Oh, mm-hmm. They did.
And the Bruins were the President's Trophy.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so to your theory of President's Trophy's winner. Yeah, they made it to the Stanley Cup, but Vegas destroyed them in the Stanley Cup. But if you look at who the Panthers had to go through, they were the Cinderella team. They weren't even supposed to.
They weren't even
supposed to make it past the Bruins. So I mean, really, what it comes down to, I mean, there's a lot of factors. You have high scoring power on both teams. You have good defense on both teams. I think it's really going to come down to a goalie battle. I mean, you have two solid tendies in each net. I just think that the overall team of the Florida Panthers is just a better squad, and I think that they have a pretty gritty team. I think they're built for a deep playoff run. So I am going to take the Panthers in seven, but the only reason I'm saying seven is just purely because of Lightning's personnel, their experience. Like I said, from coaching to their leadership, I mean, they're in it every year. So, and they won it back-to-back years, almost 3 years. If it wasn't for our boys in Burgundy.
And Vasilevsky, that's the only one that I hesitate to say.
Right.
If that guy can,
if he gets hot, watch out.
He's just he's the cat. He's the guy. He can fucking do it. He can not only steal a playoff game, but he can steal a whole series.
Yes, he can.
So if he plays like we've seen him play in years past in the playoffs, look out anybody that plays him.
Yeah.
Seriously. Just teams at a whole, you know, that's, you're gonna have to make that decision as the series gets going. But right now, looking at it before it starts, I'm picking the Panthers.
Okay, I got Panthers. Channel Panthers. What do you got?
Same.
Shower. You got same. Panthers. Okay. Yep. So we're all +3 on Panthers. All right. A series that I think defines what hockey truly is.
Yep.
One of the most exciting series. Anyone who loves the game, who watches the game, not just a homer, but if you love the actual purity of what this game is, there should be a series that doesn't excite you like a Bruins versus Leafs. I will say it probably used to be Bruins Canadiens, but the Habs have kind of fallen off the past 5+ years, other than that random run that they had during COVID to the finals where they lost to the Lightning.
Oh, the bubble year.
The bubble year. And that was strictly, you want to talk about goalies who steal series, that was strictly a Carey Price deal.
Yeah.
They obviously don't have that anymore, but if you look at the Leafs, this team has been built to possibly win for the past 5 years. They're just the Leafs when you get to the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's exactly why I think Bruins are a great hockey team. They finished top of their conference. But the fact that people think that this is going to be, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be. I think the Bruins are going to win in six. I do think the Leafs will get a couple at home, but I don't think the Bruins lose in Boston. And the Leafs, for whatever reason, the playoffs, they just turn into a choke. I mean, last year was the very first year they got out, and it was in seven, right? Didn't they beat the Lightning in seven?
Barely beat them in the first round.
So I just think that Tampa's going to do what Tampa does, and I think that I think when it comes to the East right there. Oh, sorry, Toronto. My bad.
I mean,
I think the Leafs are going to do what Leafs do, and I think they're going to choke. And Bruins, I think that the Bruins win in six.
I mean, they kind of choked last year, though, too, right? The Bruins
did. They did. Yep, but that was against the Panthers.
Yeah.
This is the Leafs.
I mean, do you know that the Leafs are always pretty good in the regular season, and then, yeah, for whatever happens, they get in the playoffs, and they just shit.
Well, I hate to do this and stroke off the fucking Bruins because I don't know what it is about the Bruins. I've never liked them. I respect the franchise. I think the original six is cool. I like their jerseys. I think it would have been sweet to play in the fucking Boston Garden. I think
they sent us Ray Bourque.
Yeah, I think it'd be sweet to play in Boston. But so that's why I say I hate to stroke them off. But it's unbelievable what they've done this year. They lost their captain. They didn't have a fucking – I mean, all offseason we were like, these guys don't have a fucking number one center. They hardly had a number two center. Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle or whatever, those guys aren't fucking one and number one and two guys. And look what they've still done. Right. They play together. They play to their system. Their fucking defense is awesome. McAvoy had a great season. And it's just like, here they go again. They did it a fucking again. And I was blown away that they did it after losing Bergeron.
Right.
And, you know, that little fucking rat.
Marshall.
Yeah.
He doesn't slow down. His game has been the same, plateaued there and stayed relevant and good and nasty. And he's still fast. And he's just, I gotta take my hats off to him for doing it again. And for that, I mean, for who they are as a franchise and who Toronto has been since 1939 as a franchise, I gotta go with the Bruins in this one.
You going Bruins? Do you have a series prediction of when it'll end?
I'm going to go Bruins in six.
All right. So you and me are Bruins six. What are you thinking, Char? Are you going against the grain, thinking Bruins going to choke again? Or
no,
are you thinking...
I won't. No. Toronto's way bigger choke artist. I'll take the Bruins. Game-wise, I don't Bruins? Know. Maybe six. I don't know.
You can do six as well?
Follow you, but I think six is probably the way.
That's fine.
Might go seven.
Might
go seven, but.
You look at the year the Bruins won the Cup. And that was the last year that I was actually playing out in Boston, and it was in seven. The Bruins had that like miraculous like last 3 minutes they were down by like two goals and they tied it, and then I think they won in overtime for game seven. I forget the exact details of what that was, but it's not like that. Like Tampa hasn't had their chance to end series in Boston before. Now, what I will say is this: if I'm wrong, and Toronto beats Boston, I think Toronto goes on to the Stanley Cup. I do. Because I think that's going to give them the utmost confidence in the world, the team from goaltender all the way to first line. I think it's going to be a boost throughout the city, the area, and everything that they're going to just run through the East. And that's my prediction there. I just don't see it happening. I do not see this Leafs team beating the Bruins. But we'll see. I mean, they have the number one goal scorer. Setting records that haven't been done since the salary cap era of the goals scored. So really it just depends if you can carry that same thing over in the playoffs. But it's hard. We've all seen it. It's very hard. You see it, McDavid, every year. He goes in regular season great. Playoffs, he still plays good, but it's just different. Like he's not usually getting those six-point nights anymore in the playoffs, things like that. It's just playoff hockey is just a different beast, man. And I just don't think Tampa's ever been – or Toronto's ever been built for it. And Bruins always have been built for it. I watched it. We've seen it every year. Even when they don't, they just have always had such extreme depth. So, I think we're all in agreement. Bruins in six. So, moving on, Rangers versus Caps. This one to me is a no-brainer. I think Caps might win one game, maybe. But I wouldn't be surprised if Rangers just sweep them. I mean, that Rangers team right now from front to back, I mean, their goalie, their defense, their like every line on that team, like they are my second pick, I would say, to Stanley Cup. My number one pick right now, I think, if I was to pick the East, who's going to win the Cup, I'd pick the Hurricanes, and we'll get to that series next. But the Rangers, I think, are just going to make short work of the Capitals. I think the Capitals might get a game. What do you guys think?
Well, that's where I will contradict you. I think I'm only because, I mean, the last 2 months, the Caps have looked like a resurgence. It almost looked like Ovechkin was fucking, you know, went back in time 25 for years, again. You know? And I think there's just so much momentum in that clubhouse and in the organization as a whole. They're going to give the Rangers a run for their money. I don't know what it is about the Rangers, but I just – I don't
You're not into them. You don't buy it.
I don't believe it. I do think that they win the series, but I think it's seven games.
Wow. Okay, so you're taking Rangers, but you're saying in seven.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Shar?
Rangers fast.
Okay. Not sweet, so you and me are on the same page.
Yep, yep.
You think five as well?
Yeah, the only thing, they did win the President's Cup. That'll haunt them in the next series is where it'll get them.
Yeah, the old,
that is an interesting one, man.
Like the last 15 years.
Dude, you can't. It's a fucking curse.
The Avs, the Blackhawks, and like the Red Wings. Are those like the only few teams that have done it?
Won the President's Cup and won it all?
Yeah.
Avs did it like before the lockout, like in 01.
Yep, Avs did it. The Blackhawks did it. And I think the Red Wings did it.
I think it was like the last fucking 12 or 15 years. The President's Cup won one or two series, and then that was it.
Yeah, because I remember it was the years like the Sharks, they won it a few years in a row, and they were out like first round.
Always.
And then same with the Capitals. When they didn't win it, they were the President's Trophy, and then they were out first, second rounds.
Yeah. And then they win it the next year when they didn't win the President's.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida won it 3 years ago out. Colorado out the year that they won it.
Yeah.
Boston last year. Boston in 2020, Boston won it with 100 points. 100 points in 2020 won the cup.
But that was the lockout where half the year I think they were. I don't think they played 82 that year.
No, it was like 64 games or something that year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe the curse. We'll go with the Rangers. I just don't think it'll be this series. We'll be interesting to see. Shan, I'll be curious to see if you think that red hot Caps getting that last spot, if that will put some sort of fire into them that gets them going to where they show up in the playoffs. You're right. They do have a seasoned team. They do have a team. Well, they have some seasoned guys. They do have some younger guys. So we'll see. You know who they have in net, though. So we'll see how that goes, too.
Well, Kemper's their backup now. Who's the? I forget the kid's name that's been playing hot the last month or so. I think he's gonna play.
Mm.
We talked about it the other night. I can't remember, but he's been unreal. He reminds me of like what Juuso Saarinen's been doing.
Mm.
Just play like every game. He plays well and has save percentages in like the 9.2s, 9.3s.
Yeah, see, I think that's where we might get into some trouble. We'll get into the Avs here right before we wrap up.
Yeah, no, I was just comparing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
His last
I'm with you.
I mean, I don't know how the Caps are going to go about it, if they're going to go with the hot hand or go with the veteran that has won a cup, you know.
Yeah, Lindgren is his name. 25 games won this year, 16 losses, and 7 overtime losses.
That's a lot of hockey for a backup.
Yeah. I mean, how much did Darcy play this year?
I don't know. I thought Darcy was their starter.
I think he started.
I kind of stopped paying attention to him after the first month of the year because I'm like, all right, well, they're done. And then they just fucking stormed back.
Yeah, Darcy played 33 games, so he did play bit more. I guess he did play a little bit more. But he did 13 wins, 14. Yeah, so there's no way Darcy's playing. No way he's playing. So Lindgren will be there. You don't have Backstrom anymore and things like that. I just don't see the depth that you see with some of these other teams with the Capitals. But
they absolutely don't have it. I'm surprised that they made the playoffs. But I think it's a team that makes it like that in the fashion that they did. They can ride that little bit of magic for a little bit.
For sure. We'll see. So, okay, last series, Hurricanes-Isles. Like I said, Hurricanes, if I was to pick a team from the East to win the whole thing, I would pick the Hurricanes. The depth that they have, this team has been a solid second, third round team every year.
Yeah.
I think this is the year that they kind of put all the pieces together. They have the core, they have the team. They are facing a very difficult Islanders team to start. Islanders team that plays a very good playoff hockey. Like, they play that boring playoff hockey, but it works.
They're stingy.
They are stingy. And I think that the Islanders will win three games in this series. And I think they're going to be like one goal games, like 2-1, 3-2, real, real close games. But I do think the Hurricanes put it away in seven. And I do think that they will advance. And again, that is my pick. If I was to say who's the Stanley Cup winner coming out of the East, I'm picking the Canes.
I'll go Canes in six. The Islanders are like the – I don't believe in the New York teams. I don't know. I've watched them a decent amount of time because get home from work and it's like the East Coast games are on. So you watch those before the Avs game starts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, the Rangers are fun. The Islanders are not, and they just, like, I don't know. I don't want them. I'm picking with that one with my heart. I want the Canes to just blow them up.
It's funny, man, because, like, Islanders are one of the few teams that if you're an Islanders fan, you love them. But if you're not, everyone hates them.
Yeah.
Not because they have any reason to hate them. They're just so boring to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly why. I mean, and we even are fringe buddies with – a guy that's on the team, right? I mean, or 1 degree of separation from old Mayfield out there. So it'd be like cool to like have a guy that, you know, I mean, if that happens, you know, we'll probably meet the cup if they win it someday, you know, but it's probably not. I don't see them winning. I think they're going to get bounced in.
That would be awesome.
Hey, there he is.
Well, what's weird is I was there the whole time on my end. Like, I heard you guys talking about Shan was saying, asking you how you guys did last night and,
weird.
Huh. And then Shar was talking about like, oh, I'm checking my internet. No, I hear you and everything. Like, says uploading, you're explaining uploading to them, and I was like, they can't hear me, so I just refreshed it. That was weird. All right. So I think we were just finishing up with the Hurricane Islanders. All right. So it sounds like we're all in agreement on who's winning, but we're just in a disagreement of how fast some of them are gonna be, correct?
Yeah.
That seemed to be fair. We're all agreeing Panthers, Bruins, Rangers, Canes. We just think that possibly some will be a little shorter, some will be a little bit longer. So we'll see.
Just for the sake of making it fun, you can mark me down for I'm taking Caps in seven.
Oh, Caps in seven.
Let's get okay. At least it's not me betting on Rory.
Hey, it's better than betting on Rory, bud. I mean, hey, you know what? He paid you, but I was sweating it out for you watching the last six fucking holes, and he's plus four, and the cut's at plus five.
He made the cut, though.
Stupid. Fucking Rory. Anyway. Fucking. That's some shit that grinds my gears. How in the fuck are the odds makers putting Rory as number two to win the fucking Masters, and he can barely make the cut? That just shows you. They got a fucking chubby for the PGA players, but they won't, you know. I mean, Scotty, the PGA guy.
I wonder where the live rumors came for Rory after that.
I don't know. Yeah, they're $850 million. Why would the live pay him that and he just trashes on him all the time? How much money is the PGA feeding Rory to just talk shit about live and stay there is the question.
Mm. Weird guy to pick, though, because I think Rory's at him. I don't know. Well,
because all the most of the other best players left, except for Scotty. And
let's finish up talking about the last two teams that we have locked, because we don't know the Oilers, Stars, Vegas, or Kings fate yet as far as who's playing who. But we'll save the Jets and Avs for last. Let's talk about Vancouver Predators. Now, I've never been a believer of Vancouver at all. How they did so incredibly well this year baffles me. I mean, they do have some great, great hockey players on their team. Pettersson, Hughes, just those guys alone. I know it could be game changers. And then you have, what's his face? Blonde headed dude. Why am I forgetting his name?
Brock Besser.
That's it. Thank you. So, I mean, you have a solid hockey team up there. I know they're not bad at all, but for them to be where they're at. I don't know. Like, that's just something for me. I mean, I guess they have two solid goaltenders. You got Demko and you got DeSmith. I mean, they're both solid, but I don't know. I kind of want to take Predators.
I think Demko is he's the pivot point. So if he, like, kind of like Vasilevsky, if he plays like he did for stretches that he, like, he played in the regular season,
mm-hmm.
where he was just fucking dominating games, then I think the Canucks take the series if he can find that magic. But if he doesn't, then I mean the Preds have that acumen, and they've been in the playoffs like every year, which also baffles me because I don't really like the Preds, but
they're just always sneaking in there though. They're always
I'm not a fan of them either. I'm not necessarily in love with the Predators. I just really, there's something about the Canucks, man. I don't know if it's because they've never won a cup. I know they've been there a few times in the finals, but I just.
With the Sedin sisters?
The Sedin sisters. That's right.
Fucking weirdos.
Yeah. That when the weirdos, the Bruins, dude. That's when the Bruins won the whole thing against them.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that Lakanen, and you have Saros and net for the Preds. I mean, I don't know. There's just something about either of the teams, man. This one I was thinking about earlier, and I just like, it's just hard for me to get on board. I mean, at the beginning of the year, they're talking about if, like, Predators are going to trade Saros away. You know, he ends up playing 64 games for him, wins 35 games, like, does a great job. They really got hot second half of the year, which last time you saw a team. Now, granted, the Preds weren't like bottom of the barrel when they got hot like the Blues did the year that they won the cup.
Yep.
And I think I have a little bit of bias towards the West, obviously, especially our conference that we're in Central. I think that we just play a much grittier game. And I just think that the Predators are going to just physically dominate Vancouver.
And I
just think that is what will be the breaking point. And you're right, because I think both teams have phenomenal scoring power. Defensively, I'd give the edge a little bit to Vancouver, but not by much. And by defensively too, I'm including goaltending.
Right.
And you're right, it really is going to show up to Vancouver's goaltending. But I do, I guess it's the bias to me, if you will, of just seeing more Predator games, really. Of just thinking that the games that I did see Vancouver, and one of them being when the Avs came back against them, I just don't have any faith in the Canucks. So I do think the Predators will win that series. I just don't. I'm going to say six. I'm going to take the Predators in six.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's a great point. Almost every team besides what the Blackhawks are going through right now, but in our division, built for playoff hockey.
Right.
It's a good complement of fucking grinders and guys that can just fucking win board battles, and then high-end talent like your Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. I mean, O'Reilly's been solid. He hasn't been the playmaker he was when the Blues won the cup that year when he just dominated. But, I mean, even O'Reilly is still a fucking that's why he's nicknamed the Factor. You know, he's great on both ends of the ice.
He's a menace.
He still is. Yeah, he's still a menace. So, and we've said it a few times this year already, even like not on the podcast, but just talking like at some point the Canucks can't keep this going. They just can't.
Yeah.
I don't see how a team can go from bottom of the barrel for a decade to all of a sudden being. I mean, they were in the run for the President's Trophy for the last month or two. So, I'm not a believer in them either. And I'm going to say it's going to go to seven just because it's such a fucking coin flip to me. So, but I'm going to go Preds in seven.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, it's not, it might just be a bias. I mean, you look at last year, Kraken took the Avs out. But I said at the beginning of the year last year, not the beginning of the year, but the beginning of playoffs.
Yeah.
You saw it going in. We were right back to the first few years of the Avs when we couldn't make it past the second round, where we were relying on one line. Now, granted, Landeskog was out. We didn't have Kadri anymore. We went from that depth that we had when we won the cup to back to relying on like seven guys.
Right.
And last year was the same thing for the Avs, and you saw it against the Kraken. We just, we didn't, it, they just had to shut down that one line. and we were done.
Right.
And I just think Predators have a little bit more depth than that, and I just don't see it with Vancouver. You got anything different to add there, Shower?
Same page. Vancouver's definitely going to win that series.
You're taking Coover?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what's weird to me? It was like the Preds at the trade deadline were almost sellers.
Yeah, that's what you thought.
Yeah. And then now all of a sudden we're talking about them in the playoffs, and I guess that's one of the only reasons why I'm like, I can't believe I just said that I'm picking the Preds to win this thing, because I thought the Preds were going to, like, all right, we're going to kind of start a rebuild, that this was like that transition year.
Mm-hmm.
But now here we fucking are. So I don't know.
There was a couple people that were saying or wanting, like, high sources, analytical sources, saying the Avs were trying to make big moves with Predators to get Saros over here. But
yeah,
who knows how true that is. I don't know.
I'm sure they picked up the phone, that's for sure.
Which is a good segue into the last solidified series of Jets versus Avs. Yesterday on Twitter, I saw someone post, Jets drew the easiest series, the easiest team to play. Who do you think they're going to have in the second round?
That is laughable.
That's one of those people that just started watching fucking hockey a week ago.
Right.
That is laughable.
Right.
Unreal.
Now, listen, I'm not saying Winnipeg doesn't have a chance to win this series, but if you think that you drew
the easiest series, oh, my God.
Right. Now, granted, if you're just looking at the Avs and whoever wrote that just watched the last time the Jets and Avs played, then sure. Yes, I can understand why you'd write that. But to your guys' point, what we said earlier, that's you. You're just like, hey, playoff time, I'm going to become a hockey fan now. Right. All right, what happened the last time the Avs and Winnipeg played? Oh, shit, Winnipeg won 7-0. Oh, yeah, easy game. It's like, let's, the brakes.
Yeah, let's see what playoff McKinnon does to people.
They ain't doing that in 7, I guarantee you fucking that.
So, listen, I'm not over here saying that the Avs are going to win this series. I'm going to pick the Avs to win the series.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, look at that guy. Old Byron. I'm definitely picking the Avs to win, but I'm not sitting over here thinking that's going to be one of these Avs we win in 5 games. Now, what is the season series? I don't know if one of you guys can pull that up real quick. What is the season series against the Jets this year? Not just the last game.
I'm kind of looking at it. I think
Winnipeg has the advantage of us.
Yeah.
And really when it comes down to Winnipeg, they do have, I mean, they have Connor, they have Scheifele with Mark. If it's not them, like, I, obviously when it comes to an offensive advantage, I think we're leaps and bounds better than the Winnipeg Jets. What were we?
Avs are 0-3, 2 games in.
Oh, okay.
In December, early December, and then this last game, which is weird that
we only played them 3 times. I thought we played at least everyone 4.
Whatever, good. They got our number, boys. Pack it in. The Avs are losing in 4.
No, but you're right. I've always thought the Jets had good players on their team. Nobody that's an absolute game taker over like fucking McKinnon and McCarr are, but. They have a solid team, and like, I'm not surprised that they kind of put it together a little bit more this year than they have in years past. I think they've underperformed in years past. So
sure.
This year is like, I think they're right where I expected them to be, you know, in that kind of battling towards the end for the best in conference.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's not going to be an easy fucking series, but I guarantee you they're not going to beat us 4 games to nothing, 7 ripped each game.
That's there's no way.
It's
going to be a good series. It's going to be good. I think.
But they've done this thing all year where they go down early and they battle back, and I hate that. Like, it's obviously super frustrating as a fan to watch, but I think showing the resiliency that they have, and it's been all fucking season, that I think that kind of builds their confidence. So if they give up, and a lot of these fucking games are going down, it's the weirdest. They have some weird ass puck luck this year. Pucks bouncing off guys' asses, fucking Plinko board into the net.
All right.
But I think because of that, they've built up this callus where if that happens, they can turn the page and they're just fucking next shift. They're out firing again. And they don't get down on them.
Not too high, not too low. Yeah.
So that's what I think the Avs have that a lot of teams don't, is they're tough. They just don't ever fucking give up. Other than the last, I mean, like we said, the last like few games in the last week or two, it's just been like, Jesus Christ, you guys. But I think a lot of that is they know to when they need to fucking kind of save themselves for the playoffs. I mean, they clinched, and since they clinched, the team hasn't looked as strong for 60 minutes.
Well, and they're still working in the new guys, and it just takes time, and they're getting ready. And I think they're more focused on not necessarily winning, but, yeah, being ready to play in the playoffs. They knew they weren't gonna, they couldn't get the one seed, so they knew they were at two or three, so then they just started, I don't know. Maybe
yeah, like, I just dude, just the games that we did lose the past, the Stars, the Oilers, the Jets, and then the one, I don't know why this one, maybe it's because you're up 3-0 going to a third, and Georgiev's playing great, but to drop a 3-0 lead to the Knights, sucked. Again, it's probably because it's the Knights and I can't stand them, but just the past few games that we have lost, it is very hard to go in playoffs right now with confidence. Some extreme confidence. Oh, now, yeah. I don't know with tonight's game, they finish off the season against the Oilers. I don't even know if they're going to be playing their big guys. I don't think it maybe the Oilers. No, because I think the Oilers are locked in where they're at regardless. It just comes down to the Kings and the Knights to see where the rest of the shifting goes.
Yep.
I
don't even know if they'll be playing all the big guys.
And so they definitely are playing. You know, McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar, they're probably not going to get 25 minutes a night like they normally do. I bet they go out, get in the 13 double to shifts, 17 range.
Keep the legs warm.
The idea is if they didn't play at, like, say they sat out McKinnon and Makar tonight, it would be well over a week between games that they played. So I think they're just get them out there, get their routine for game night, get the blood flowing a little bit, and go out and play. I mean, they're still playing against McDavid, one of the best in the world. They're still playing against a playoff team.
We kind of need to go into the playoffs with a little bit of a win. Like, we need to go in with some confidence because the last few 100%. Games, man, it's going to be kind of hard to turn the page because you just kind of know, like, it is a different season and everything. But if you kind of going in like, holy shit, we're dropping 5+ goals a night against teams right now, and we can't seem to put things together against every team that I just named off there, is going to be a team that we're going to have to go through here.
Yeah.
Like if you do want to make a deep run, like, you're going to have to go through those teams.
Yep.
So it's like that part I think is a little demoralizing too, to where you're just like, shit, boys, like, fuck, that's not the way you want to end. Yeah, especially when you had the March that you had, where you had like a 9-10 game where McKinnon's going on these insane series or these insane streaks for points and, you know, MVP caliber season. You know, we're not exactly sure if he's going to get it or not. You know, Austin Matthews is doing some insane things right now, but I don't have all the confidence in the world, but I still am an Avs diehard. I do think that they perform better in the playoffs. I don't want them to be the team that goes back to a first, second round knockout. We're not going to be the Leaves over here. So I'm going to take Avs in seven.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Avs in seven.
Going Avs six.
Avs six. I like that too.
I just have a feeling that they, like you said, that was the best point that I was going to, the last point I was going to make is they're not going to sit all their guys because they want to go out and fucking play a good game to finish off the regular season, go in with like, hey, we can still do it, you know?
Right.
But
they
have to. I especially because the last time we played Winnipeg, they got embarrassed and, you know, the media and the people on Twitter or X or whatever are saying, oh, well, fucking easiest round ever. You don't think those guys fucking hear that shit? They're going to go out
and
fucking pissed. And honestly, when this team plays mad, I'd say they're the scariest team in the NHL.
I would agree. And you know what? Whoever put that post out, probably the same guy who said that Zach Hyman only got 50 because he grew up with a spoon in his mouth. It's probably the same guy. it's like if you're Winnipeg and you see that go viral, which it did. You know, this obviously went viral. Everyone's reposting it that this guy said Jets drew the easiest. Who are we going to get in round two? It's the same thing as like someone, you know, like the Eagles, the year that they played against the Chiefs and they already, or not the Chiefs.
Patriots?
No, because they beat the Patriots. It was the year that they already announced that they already had their parade lined up. They were already greasing the poles so that people would, like, they just knew in their brains, like, it was a lock. And obviously they lost. And I forgot, God, who was that against?
It wasn't the Chiefs?
It must have been the Chiefs. It had to have been.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that'll be really good for the Avs. As an Avs fan, I love that they did that, because it's like, if that isn't cut out and bolted right there in the Avs locker room before every game, I'm like, hey, this is what people think of you right now. Then, you know, I don't know what else will light a fire in your ass. But all right, boys, we've been going out here for about an hour. We'll wrap it up here. Next week when we record, we will not only be able to finish the series, we'll have a little bit of an advantage talking, unless we want to record before then, but which we absolutely can do. But the other ones will be solidified. We can talk about that series. A couple of those games will already be underway. So we'll be able to talk a little bit playoff hockey, what we're seeing so far of some of these teams we talked about. I think first playoff games from the East start this Saturday on the 20th.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Great time of year, boys. It's starting off. There's not too many things you live for more in this than NHL hockey. We'll have to try to get together on one of those games.
We got fucking playoff weather out here. It's fucking snowing and freezing rain.
It's great. It's a sign. It's a sign.
Juiced up right now.
It's avalanche season, baby.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
All right, boys. Great seeing you, Shaman. Always great to have you back on whenever you can make it. So,
all right.
That being said, boys.
One thing before we leave. Okay. McKinnon and Jokic for MVP. Nuggets and Avs both having parades this year.
Oh,
get fucking going, boys!
You heard it here first.
Might as well throw that in a bet. Just give me bet. Throw that in a bet.
I did.
Oh yeah, that a win.
What a parlay!
That a win. Oh, it's gonna hit. It's good. We gotta go partying.
Yeah. We're going to the bar. We're going nuts.
Yeah. And all the love in the world from the Shannell household to the Letty household.
I appreciate it, brother.
Yep.
All right,
love, boys. See ya.
Peace.